It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? I'd like for you to open your Bibles. We're studying in the book of Philippians. And please that you would open your Bibles up to Philippians chapter 1, be reading from verse 3 to verse 11. So many things in this precious word, so please that you read along and follow along with me. While you're looking that up in your Bibles, I'd love to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois. It's 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And again, it's Parkview Bible Church, 18th and Church Street, and the zip code 62341. Please, that you would send me a note telling me that you're listening to the program, telling me that you've come to know the Lord Jesus, that you're growing in the Lord Jesus. I love to hear from you, so please that you would let me know, and then we can continue to pray for you if there's a special need that you may have. Philippians chapter 1, we're going to read again from the 3rd to the 11th verse, and so please that you would follow along. Beginning with verse 3, Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, I thank my God unto every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long after you all in the tender mercies of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Oh, a sweet word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start the study today. Father, I thank you that we can come together. It's such a privilege to study your word, and it's just an honor, Lord, to have this before us and to be able to proclaim it across the radio. I just thank you, Father. Please that you use it. Use it to your glory. Use it to your power and your strength to convict people's hearts, that they will turn to you, that they'll realize their wickedness, they'll realize their sin, and Father, they'll come to you and be saved. They'll come forward and realize that they're lost, and realize there's only one means of salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ and by Jesus Christ, it's just, Father, we know not to know it in our head, but it has to be a heart condition. And only can the Holy Spirit convict our hearts of the sin, and then have us come before you and ask Jesus, would you come into my heart and save me? And Father, we know that you are faithful to save us if we will call upon you. So please, Lord, that we do so today. I ask that you will show us these precious words, and I just ask for a joyful day, a wonderful day as we share over this. So please, help us, guide and lead us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been through these verses many times, but as we continue to pore over them, in verse 5 it says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. You know, again, the joy and the excitement comes, and the fellowship is there that comes by the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now, I fellowship with the Lord in many ways. I fellowship with the Lord as I'm poring over His Word. I fellowship with the Lord through prayer, as I lift up the concerns and the burdens that I have in my heart, as I listen to the Lord to let Him touch my life and change my life, as we're fellowshipping here at the church together, as I'm talking to other believers out and about, as I enjoy doing so. It's a joy to do that. But the fellowship that I have comes down to one thing, and that is the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The life I have in Jesus. And you see, we know about the life that we can have in Jesus by His precious word. And so as we study His Word, and the great joy and the great fellowship that comes together is that when we search this Word and we become one through and by the Word of God, always in every prayer of mine for you, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, from the day you met Jesus Christ, from the day you were saved until right now, the joy we have had together. Now, it's important, and you don't know what I'm talking about if you don't know the Lord Jesus, or if you're trying to visit, fellowship, whatever you want to call it, with other people that are not believers in Jesus Christ. Maybe they do not believe that by grace you're saved. And you know, if you don't believe that you're saved by grace, by God's grace, by you coming to Him and Him doing the saving, Jesus draws you by the Holy Spirit and He saves you. And there's a commitment, there's a time that you need to call upon the Lord Jesus and come to Him. It's not something that just happens because you're in church so long, or something that just happens because you're a good person. It happens because you decide that you're a sinner. Now, the only way we know that is by the exposure of the Word of God, the exposure of the Lord Jesus and His Holy Spirit upon our life, showing us how wicked we are. And when we realize that, then I ask that you'll realize there's only one way and one answer, and that's Jesus. I hope that you come to Jesus today. I hope you're saved. Now, please don't attempt and don't try to find other activities and so many things. There's one joy that should come to your heart. We spent a lot of time last week talking about two things, and that was the fellowship and the gospel, and the other thing is the day of Jesus Christ in verse 6. And both of those things are very important. If you want the power of God, then please do not mix yourself up with people that are not of like faith. You know, when we come to the Lord Jesus and I walk after the Lord Jesus and I pour over His Word, you know the people I have the wonderful fellowship with? That's other believers that search that Word and look to that Word, and by the leadership of the Holy Spirit are being taught just as I am. And as we walk together then, looking at those sweet doctrines of the Word of God and finding ourselves to be together, agreeing, one in Jesus Christ. I have no fellowship with those other people. I have no fellowship when they just say, "Do you believe that Jesus Christ lived?" "Well, yes, I do." "Well, then we should have fellowship. Let's go have a party somewhere." That's a joke, and it's unnecessary, and it's not the power and the presence of God. And my friend, He has given us the local church. He has given us the opportunity to come together with great joy and great fellowship over the gospel of Jesus Christ, saved by grace in Jesus Christ. And that's the people I have fun with, have fellowship with, have joy with, those that are of like faith as they have searched the Word of God. That's the reason, my friend, I got nothing to do with Promise Keepers, because I want to be with people that agree upon the Word of God, the way the Holy Spirit has taught me. I'm not going to fellowship with somebody that's contrary to that, that puts works with their salvation or many other things. So please, that you search the Word of God so that you can have this joy and this fellowship that we have. Now, coming down through verse 6, it says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Oh, the day of Jesus Christ. That day begins at the rapture of the church. Again, last week we looked up several verses of Scripture concerning that. We found that in not only Philippians, the second chapter, but also 1 Corinthians and in 2 Timothy. We looked those verses of Scripture up, and that's a day that begins, a joyful day that begins with the believer, the one that has come by faith to Jesus Christ. Now let's back up one more time here, and let's read through verse 6. "Being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Until one of two things happens. Until I die, and my body's laid in the grave, but my soul is in the presence of God, in the presence of the Lord Jesus in heaven. Okay, that's one direction. The other is that Jesus will come and call His church home, and we call that the rapture of the church. And the church is not Parkview Bible Church. It is not any Baptist church, Assembly of God church, or Presbyterian church, or Methodist church, or Pentecostal church, or any name that you want. It's not that. It is every person that has come by faith, realized their heart, and come before Jesus Christ, and was saved. accepted the sacrifice that was offered upon the cross of Calvary. That's what it takes. That can only be done by a drawing of the Holy Spirit. It comes by the search of His Word. As you open His Word, He will convict your heart. And that work of salvation begins and is a great, wonderful day, the day that your sin is exposed to you and you realize how filthy you are and how much you need the saving power of Jesus Christ and find it at the cross. You come to the cross where He offered His life for mine and He finished the work there for me. And oh, it's great. It's wonderful. It's a miracle. But God did it for me, and He also did it for you. Now, as that decision was made, then also that same Holy Spirit now that lives within me begins to work within me to make my life more pleasing unto the Lord. And it's a glorious day every day. But until that day, being confident of this very thing, that He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And a great work He did in your life was the day He saved your soul. The day you come to Jesus Christ, and maybe that's today. Maybe today is the day that you opened your heart up and realized that you're such a sinner, and then you've listened to these words. Maybe you've listened for weeks or for years to me, and you have ignored the call. You've ignored that you need to come to the cross of Calvary and be saved. But today I'm asking you one more time, because we may not have tomorrow, so today I'm asking one more time, let's begin that good work by coming by faith to Jesus Christ and being saved. Saved from your sin. Saved from a certain hell, a certain life after this life that is in torment and fire and where the worm never dies. There's many verses of Scripture that defines hell. That's where you're going to spend eternity, in torment forever. In the lake of fire, the Scripture says. Oh, please that you miss that. Oh, please that you come today to Jesus Christ and you trust by faith in Him. And begin this good work. And that good work He has started today, and He wants to perform it until either I hit the grave or He comes to get me. Now, there has been men and women of God for years that have looked for the return of Jesus Christ. That He's going to come, they're going to hear that trump, and their bodies are going to meet Him in the air. And we're going to receive our glorified bodies, our perfect bodies. We'll receive that on the way, and I'll tell you what, our soul, if you're dead, if you've died in Jesus Christ, that grave will open up and that old body will be made new because of Jesus Christ. Body and soul will be reunited. Well, my soul's still here. My body's still here. Well, I'm going to get a glorified body, and I too will meet Him in the air, and He's going to take me back home. Now, that's what they're talking about here, and there's a work that needs to be done, and it's important that you see this. I tell you to study your Word. I tell you to get into a Bible-preaching, soul-winning church that tells people how to be saved and tells them that they need to come from their wretched, miserable, wicked life, and Jesus will save their soul and set them free. I tell you over and over and over again that you need to come by faith to Jesus Christ and be saved, and then search out a church. Find a church home where you can come together, listen to that simple preaching of the gospel, and watch folks be saved. Please, that you search that church out. Don't be satisfied with anything else. I don't care if your father, grandfather, and great-grandfather founded the church you're in. If they're no longer preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ or never did, and you've just realized right now they don't, get out. And find you a church that preaches the truth, the Word of God, that stands upon that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and upon His precious blood. And don't try to mix and match and compromise and call it the fellowship of God, because it's not. You just got a social group that you're getting together with. You can go anyplace else and do that. Don't corrupt God's church with your ways. Come to Jesus Christ and be saved, and set out to find a Bible-preaching church to serve in and to walk in. Because, my friend, He has started a good work in you, and He's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We will be judged for what we do after we're saved. There is rewards, not judged on whether we're good enough to get into heaven. Because that decision's made when we turn by faith to Jesus, and He saves us, and He keeps us. But my friend, He has set a work before us, and it's our responsibility to do that work, and that work will continue till either we die or He comes to get us, whichever comes first. And I'm looking forward to either one of them. I'd prefer not to have to go to the grave. I'd love to hear that trump. But my friend, I'm going to be busy at it until that day. I'm going to be busy preaching the Word of God, telling people how to be saved, growing in the Word of God, studying the Word of God. Please don't forsake the house of God. Don't convince yourself that you've grown enough and you're spiritual enough, because you can always grow in the Word of God. You can always come closer to Jesus Christ. Please that you turn to God, turn to His Word, study and penetrate upon His, let that Word penetrate upon your heart. Please that you do that. The first half of verse 7, even as it is right for me to think this of you all. Now, in studying this, and again, I know that we go through this over and over again. My purpose as the pastor of this church, also of the teacher, as we fellowship over the Word of God on the radio, is that you fall in love with the Word of God. I want you to always enjoy as we study the Word of God, but I want you to fall so in love with His Word that you will pore over it, you'll search it, you'll study it, because we begin to see new things. Even as it is right for me to think this of you all. You see what Paul could see? Paul did not see a filthy old sinner, saved by grace, but still a filthy old sinner. Paul could look right through their mistakes, their faults. He could look right through the foolish things that they might be doing. He could look right through, and he said, if I can get you to realize that there is a good work that was started in you the day you were saved, and that work is set out to be performed until Jesus comes to get us or you go to the grave. And Paul, because of the love, such a great love that he had for the Word of God, for Jesus himself, and for the brothers and sisters in Christ, he could look right through all those mistakes. He could look right through all the error that they had in their life. And he would look right to the finished product. He could see in those people the great work that God was in the process of performing. And Paul, because of the love of God and the love of the brethren, he did not criticize the brethren. He told them to stay in the truth. But he did not criticize them and condemn them unless they left the truth. And then he told them to get back to the truth. But he could see a vessel that had been cleansed, sanctified, and set free by Jesus Christ. He did not see this poor, miserable, saved by grace sinner, but this vessel that needed some cleaning up, this vessel that needed to be changed. He could look beyond because he knew as long as the heart of that man or woman or child was to look at the Word of God, and to search it, and to grow to be like Jesus. Paul did not pick and complain and harp about all the little things. That's what Satan loves to do within a body of believers. He doesn't want us to see the finished product. He doesn't want to have spiritual eyes to look right through where we are today onto where we're going to be. Satan hates that. You know, they've said for many years, that a painter, when he starts to paint a picture, in his mind, in his eyes, he knows what that finished product's going to look like. Now, if you look at it halfway through, when he's half finished with it, and you look at it, you won't be able to even figure out what it is. But the person that's painting that picture sure can, because he sees the finished product. Now, we need to do the same thing with believers. We need to stop condemning and criticizing. We need to love them. Help them to grow in the Word of God. Help them to grow closer to the Lord Jesus. Because we can see. We can see with spiritual eyes what they're going to look like when it's all finished. Oh, that we can look into a person's heart that way and life that way instead of looking at them as our natural eyes see them, our natural ears hear them, and we start to harp and complain because they're not doing this, they're not doing that. Well, my friend, that's the reason that so often that I'll pester, I'll harp, I'll push. You get so tired of me around sometimes. It's not because I want to be a pain. It's because I see what Jesus has done for you and what you are, what you're going to be in that final day. And I want you to have the advantage of the rewards. I want you to have the joy of that walk each day. Because I can look at you and I look beyond maybe what you are today because I can see what you're going to be tomorrow and the next day and the next day as you grow closer to the Lord Jesus. And I'm sure you can see the same thing in me. I'm not what I used to be. I praise God for that. But I'm not finished. He's not finished with me either. And I praise God for that. Please that we walk unto the Lord Jesus and we look unto Him, realizing, as Paul here, even as it is right for me to think this of you all. I believe he had the spiritual eyes to look beyond what those people were at that day. And he looked at them as if they were perfect. You know how? Because they were in fellowship in the gospel. Because they were looking to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Oh, it's wonderful. And because I have you in my heart, Paul says. Because I have you in my heart. I care for you. I love you. I'm looking right beyond your mistakes and your errors and your bumbling as you continue to grow and change in Jesus Christ. The thing that hurts a believer the most is when you see one that kind of lays down and quits. Or is kind of half-hearted. They themselves do not realize that there is a good work that has been set before them. And it will be performed until the day of Jesus Christ, and that work is performed by Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit in your life. But you've got to surrender. You've got to give Him your time. Don't steal from Him. You got to give Him your time and your talents and your money. You got to serve Him. And you can't imagine the blessings that will return your way. Because I have you in my heart, I can see this. The heart of God. Inasmuch as in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. We're all one family here because I'm saved by grace in Jesus Christ, and I'm looking to the Word of God, the truth, and I'm not separating the truth. I'm not putting works onto salvation. I'm not joining anything. I'm not trying to get along with those people. I'm trying to serve a living God and look into His Word, and that's what we need to do. Satan wants us to have a big party and come back all hyped up and then think that that's built us into something spiritual. It's not. If you want to be spiritual, then you get into the Word of God. Let the Holy Spirit search your heart. Instead of going away for a weekend retreat somewhere so that you can get spiritual, why don't you go lock yourself in your house and don't turn the television on, don't turn the radio on, and sit down with God and His precious Word for those couple, 3 days. You can't believe how you're going to be when you come out of that prayer closet. And it's not going to be a hype and a excitement that's going to go away. The excitement you'll gain there will stay, and you'll continue to build upon it. I beg you to go into the Word of God, not to this other nonsense. Many people have been deceived. Multitudes have been deceived. I just ask you and beg you that you look to the Word of God and look to your local church and stay away from all those things. Because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, the defense and the stability of the gospel of Jesus Christ, ye all are partakers of my grace. Because of what we have in Jesus Christ, I am strong, I am stable, even though I'm in prison. You sure wouldn't think Paul was in prison when he was writing this. You'd think he was a free man on top of the world. Well, in Paul's eyes, he was, because he knows Jesus Christ. It's great. It's a glorious day. It's wonderful to go to the Lord Jesus. You know, as we search the Word of God, as we study the Word of God, Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 and 41, it tells us that if we will listen to the Word of God, to the preacher of God, and be faithful to that, in verse chapter 10, Matthew, verse 40 and 41, "He that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward." You see, if you're faithful to listen to the Word of God, get beyond this harping and complaining and saying that preacher, he isn't preaching what I want him to preach, and he preaches too long, all these things. If you'll listen to that preacher, if you'll listen to that prophet, and you can take it right into the Word of God and confirm it, you're going to get the blessings of this, of if you were the preacher yourself, because you're proclaiming the truth and you're listening to the truth, and then you're going to carry that truth on to others and out beyond. Please, that you trust in the Lord Jesus. You walk after the Lord Jesus. It tells us here in verse 8, "For God is my witness how greatly I long after you all in the tender mercies of Jesus Christ." Oh, the heart of Paul is that he could see him, he could be with him, but he can't. The great love that the church of Philippi is showing towards Paul and Paul's love towards them, and again, that he can look right beyond any error or any mistakes that they may make. He can look right on to the finished product, and he can pray for them. Please, God, that you lay on their heart the end goal, the finish line. Keep their eyes on the finish line, Lord. Don't let them get to looking to one side or the other, but get them their eyes to the finish line. So important that we look unto the finish line. And then he has this prayer in verse 9 through 11. "This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in the judgment, in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Jesus Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." This is the prayer to these folks. A sweet, sweet prayer, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment. Oh, as we look unto the Lord, we want His knowledge, His wisdom, that we can walk day by day so strong in His way and in His will. And again, that ye may approve things that are excellent. You know what happens when we're faithful to study the Word of God, to be in the house of God, and to do the work of God? We become very good stewards of what God has given us. Because we're spending time with Him, we understand how that we receive the blessings. We receive such a joy and a happiness in our heart to walk after Him. And that we can approve things. We know that it's right. Oh, so many times you sit there and you scratch your head and you wonder, boy, is this of God or is this not of God? Well, this is the very reason, again, why so many folks have been deceived by promise keepers, because they are not in the Word of God. They have not searched the precious Word, and they've been deceived. They've been lied to by Satan himself. And as they go here and look to this precious Word, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Jesus Christ. There's that day again. Until the day of Jesus Christ. My friend, I want you to go into the Word of God. I want you to stand on that precious Word. I don't want you to be saved and be deceived. I want you to walk closer and closer to the Lord Jesus. again, awaiting till the day of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about verse 10 just a little bit longer, and then we'll continue next week. Oh, it's so much fun as we study and search the Word of God. But I beg you that you stay in the truth, that you can have the happiness and the power and the joy and the presence of God in your life. My friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?